night. This is Sunday morning, 8/20/23. The title of this is Going from Glory to Glory. It seems this day that whoever you listen to, that it always seems to glorify the devil. The devil is so big, bad, and ugly. I know that the Alliance is attempting through shock and awe tactics to awaken the masses. But this one thing I would like to leave you with today, and that is glory. So we're going to look at glory today. All right, we're going to start with John chapter 16. Verse 33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. All right, 1 John 4:4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. In light of the scare event, we need to keep that in the forefront at all times, no matter what we see. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. We know that Satan comes at us through the sense realm. The five senses, see, hear, taste, smell, and touch and smell. The glory of God in us comes from within. Some might say this is mind over matter, but it is spirit over flesh. Spirit over flesh. We're going to look at some scriptures on that. 2 Corinthians 10. This talks about our warfare. Satan comes against the mind. He tries to use your senses. It says here, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. All these natural things that we try to do to try to get relief, they are just, might as well just throw it into the wind. They're not going to come against a demonic entity. The weapon formed against you is coming from a demonic entity. And you're taking natural things to try to combat that, and you'll fail. That's what he's telling us here. It's coming against your mind. You have to deal with him in your thought life. All right, Ephesians 6 pretty well says the same thing. All right, verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. See, flesh is not strong in the Lord and in his might. Put on the whole armor of God. You know, we talked about in the first teaching about how important the word of God is. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So you can try all kinds of means and methods. You might get a little relief here and there, but to really knock it out, you've got to deal with it where the root is. It's the devil, and it's him combating your mind, trying to convince you of something you don't want. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You know, before all these demons came around and came on this earth, we were living in paradise. The man was living in paradise. Our forefather. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Your weapon, the sword, is the word, not some natural something. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. See, this is where we get our instructions for battle. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. People don't get that because they think if it doesn't happen instantly, it didn't work. No, it's a stand. When you've done all to stand. In other words, it means you might be there a while, right? Okay, Luke 10:19. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. The Lord's told us on many occasions, you are in no harm. I don't care how bad you feel. You are in no harm. Why? Because he already laid them waste in Colossians. And having spoiled principalities and powers, made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. You are in no harm. You're going through a spook house. It's not real. When I saw that last man standing, his little grandson, he walked in there, and something, I can't even remember what it was, a big spider. Scared him so bad he ran out of the spook house and ran out of the building. Well, what did his wise grandpa do? Took him home, got that big bad spider, brought it in the room with him. And he goes, you know. And he said, listen, it's all fake. Then he come back, went to the spook house and just had a good time because, you know, it's all fake. It's all fake, y'all. They killed Jesus and most of his followers were all sad and thought it's over. The party's over. Old Peter went back to fishing and the rest unfolded him. What are we going to do now? I guess we'll go back to our old life, huh? They thought all was lost. It didn't matter what Jesus said to them the whole 3 years that he was with them. They forgot all about it because of what had happened. All right. The glory of God is in us. All right. They didn't listen very well. This is Luke chapter 24. They didn't listen very well. He is telling them the whole 3 years, I'm going to be suffering, I'm going to be leaving, and they were on a gravy train and they didn't want to get off. Verse 1 there says, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, there came into the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. It came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? I thought, listen, he told you for 3 years what he's going to do. He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales. They didn't believe them. And they believed them not. Then arose Peter, ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was to come to pass. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. They were in such a state of mind they couldn't even discern that it was Jesus. It said right here, but their eyes were holding that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communication are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto them, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. How the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. All is lost. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished which were early at the sepulchre. When they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself, and they drew nigh unto the village, whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, blessed it, and brake, and gave to them, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Whether they saw the nail scarred wrist, I don't know. Maybe so. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, while he reopened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And then Jesus shows up. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and frightened and supposed that they had seen a spirit. They didn't even believe it, even when Jesus showed up. And they said unto them, why are you troubled? And why do your thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. When he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of a honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. Talk about unbelievers. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And said unto them, this is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. So, they didn't believe. Even after he showed up, he had to prove it to them. Sounds like the bunch we're messing with today. All right, we really can't get on them because people today don't want to believe either. Oh, Lord. There's a lot of people down in the mouth today. Been praying for the people of Hawaii. If that is so, what happened? If that all that is really so, I pray for them that they ought to get double for their trouble. They were forced into being a state. They were kind of captured. They wanted to be their own sovereign nation. And from what I understand, they weren't even documented correctly. So really, they're probably not even really a state. And that nobody has the right to go into a sovereign country and do anything. Nothing. FEMA or anybody. All right. We are a lot of the times down on the mount just like everybody else. Even the words of the Lord sometimes. We've had lots of prophecy and lots of words and lots of promises said to us. But sometimes we just get down. We forget what he said. That's why it's good to go back and listen. So you'll remember. All right? Romans chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. If ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. Why? Glory's in us. When we operate in that glory, it frees them too. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who had subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise the Spirit also himself, or also helpeth, our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, Whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with us also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor heights, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We got glory in us. Does this put things in perspective in you about how greater it is he in us than he that is in the world? The Word of God lets us know what is happening to us and what view we should have concerning it. We are walking in the glory, whether we perceive it or not. Christ in you, the hope of glory. All right. Many of the podcasts we listen to have all kinds of sources, but they don't got a source like we've got. No, no, no. The children of God have source on the inside of them, showing them just exactly what to do about everything. All right, go to Colossians. Chapter 1. Let's see, starting with verse 1 there. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to you and the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you, since the day we heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye also learn of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause, this is the Colossians prayer. It's the one I read 5 days a week anyway. Dadgummit, I'm putting it in there. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, who has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they are thrones or dominions or principalities or powers or things, thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, and he is above all things, and by him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh mightily in me mightily. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know what? If we remind ourselves of these things, you can't stay down long. Don't you feel built up just hearing these words? It is the truth. It's not just a bunch of words on a page. It really is the truth. When we focus on the inside, we will not be as disturbed as what is going on outside around us. We have the mind of Christ concerning the situation. All right, Romans 5:3. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Proverbs 23:7 says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Heart there means the feelings or the intellect. It's what's going on in your mind. All right, Philippians 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. When? Always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. In other words, you focus on this, you're not going to lose your peace. Plain and simple. Up or down, it's all up to you. Victory or defeat, it's a matter of choice. Years ago when I was on, before I really even got on television, the Lord gave me this. He said, think about what you're thinking about. So whatever you're thinking about is going to set your mood, right? Yeah. The bad thing about that is, if you're thinking on the wrong things, eventually it's going to come out of your mouth. Somebody's going to ask, what's wrong? And you're going, blah, blah, blah. Am I speaking the truth? Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Matthew 6:31 says to take no thought saying, what we're going to eat, what we're going to drink, what we're going to wear. It so seems so easy because we've been geared to the negative. Taught all our lives, yeah, to speak that way. Here are your choices, right thoughts or wrong thoughts. They will determine your course of action, speaking fear, speaking praise and thanksgiving. Which one? Which one's going to be more profitable for you? This was the condition of those on the road to Emmaus. They'd been with Jesus for 3 years and here they are just dragging around. Saul, so sad. It's hard to see the glory that's in you when you're just weighted down with troubles and all you see is the trouble and no way out. Or there appears to be no way out. All right, we have a choice. Either we're going to go through trouble to trouble, tribulation to tribulation, sadness to sadness, or glory to glory. Glory's on here. Trouble's here. Glory's here. All right. Romans 8:18, I just read to you back here. Romans, that's verse 18, I guess. Write it down. Right here. Paul said, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." The glory. There's no one else that suffered like Jesus. A few came close, like Paul, for example. Listen to what he had to say when he found himself in tribulations. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 7. "Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." What did he do? He learned to bypass this and hone into this. Paul and Silas in the jail is a prime example of this. And they is already beat up. What happened? They got delivered. All right, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality, power, might, dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world, but also which is to come, hath put all things under his feet, gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all." He gave it to Jesus. That means he gave it to us. Why? We're his body. Right here, Ephesians 2, 6. "And hath raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Where are you sitting today? In the hog trough? In the throne? Think about what you're thinking about. It's a discipline. All right, Paul knew where his source was. Paul and Silas knew where their source was. The glory showed up. Backs bleeding in the stocks. How uncomfortable that was, must have been. Singing praises to God, and the glory showed up. The prison was shaken and their bonds were loose. Not just a song. All right, let's keep going. Ephesians 3. A few more scriptures here, but we need to hear these today. Ephesians 3:14, this is another part of the Ephesians prayers here. This is why it's important to read these. "For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." We are family. He isn't separate from thee. "That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit." Where? In the inner man. Not in the senses. in their inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints. See, once you got it here, it's gonna pop, it's gonna come up into here. May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. A glorious church without spot or wrinkle. Philippians 4:19. Well, 13's good too. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. But my God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. His riches and glory. All right, let's go back. Let's go forward to Colossians 3. Get me a drink. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on the things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man and with his deeds, and put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on therefore the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness and suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. It's all about your mindset. That's what he's talking about here. Changing your attitude, changing your mind about things, change what you're looking at, change what you're dwelling on. Because Jesus, there ain't any lack there. When you're looking to Jesus, there is no lack there. All right. Hebrews 2:10. For it became him for whom are all things, by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. You know what suffering does? It's like I described before, like a butterfly coming out of the cocoon. That struggle. The pain comes from the struggle between the flesh and the spirit. All right, 1 Peter. Just a few more. 6 through 8. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. He went through the same thing when he was here. 1 Peter 4, 1 and 2. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. Brings discipline, doesn't it? Don't like it, but it does. All right, 12 through 14. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice that as much as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. For if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. Okay. 5. Peter. 5. The elders which are among you, I exhort, him also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. I think they go hand in hand. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not by filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. When the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. All right, Jude 24. I got just a couple more. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. All right, Revelation 21. I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there, and they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. We have God's glory in us. We have a choice. We tap into that glory or we don't. I remember something, a quote from Joyce Meyer. She said this. She goes, "You can be pitiful or powerful, but you can't be both. So the choice is yours, right?" Okay.